Show yourself.
Show yourself.
Show yourself.
Show yourself.
In all respects.
In all respects.
To be a model.
To be a model.
Of good works.
Of good works.
And in your teaching.
And in your teaching.
In your teaching.
Show,
show
integrity.
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 Dignity.
Dignity.
And sound speech.
And sound speech.
That cannot be condemned.
That cannot be condemned.
So that an opponent,
so that an opponent
can be put,
can
to,
be
shame.
Put to shame.
Having nothing evil.
Having nothing evil.
To say about us.
To say about us.
You ready? All right, there you go. Somebody's ready. I want to be on the floor today. That doggone stage, it's just too little for me. I'm a big old guy. I feel like I'm going to knock that thing over or something. So I'm gonna run today, all right? I need some sprint. I need to get my sprint on and get real up and close and personal. Somebody's like, whoa, did I come to this church? Yes, you did. Welcome. I get to spit on you now as I get close to you. That's why this row is vacant here. So, but man, I'm excited. Today is going to be if you're new to 1039, this is your first experience, so you don't know what's different and what's new. But, man, some weeks you have those weeks where, especially as a pastor, you get in the mode of doing the pastor thing. I'm preparing a message. I'm doing it. We got the series. We got it planned out. But I don't want to be overly planned out because I don't want to squash the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we just get in the mode of church, right? Right? We just get doing church mode, and it's like, all right, another Sunday's coming. And I have to admit that sometimes I'm in that mode. I mean, you just get bogged down with stuff. But this week, man, I had one of those Neo from the Matrix moments. Remember Neo from the Matrix? Please tell me you watched Neo from the Matrix. Come on, man. Remember then in the movie when he, like, he didn't die and, like, he realized, like, and he saw all the code? I had one of those moments this week. I see the code, man. So I'm, like, thrilled right now. So today your head is literally going to blow up. I'm just warning you right now. You're going to be like, what in the world did I step into? But it's okay. God's Spirit's going to move. God's going to do what he's going to do. We're going to bookmark some things. We're going to keep rolling and working together as a family because here's the thing I know about God. I don't know everything about God, right? Because if I could figure God out, doesn't make him God, right? Makes him somebody I know. There's a person that you can kind of figure out. But God, he is incomprehensible, but we can get to know him. So God's Spirit is something that we keep striving after. Everybody wants this microwave, one and done. Preacher, give me this message that's going to change my life today. Jesus. Okay, let's pray. That's the only message I can keep giving you is Jesus. And then it's up to you what you do with Jesus, up to you how you follow Jesus, up to you how you walk with Jesus. And I get it that life is stressful. There's a lot of stuff we have going on in our lives, all right? This is the safe time, the hour we have. This is safe. But when you leave here, the world's out there, right? You got your marriage. You got your kids. You got your job. You got school. You got other relationships. You got bills, you got money or lack thereof. You got stuff in your life. And here's what church or religion does. Church or religion of the law says, don't bring your stuff up in here because we need to be these holy, pretentious people that act like we ain't got nothing wrong with us. And see, I know the opposite. Because I stand before you as pastor of 1039 Church. I've got stuff in my life. Every day I wake up just like you, wipe off the sleep, go in there and brush my funky teeth, and I go, okay, God, whoo, what's the game plan today? Because, man, God, if that person comes around today, I'm going to choke them. God, I just checked my checkbook online. Holy cow, what are we going to do about this one this week? So, look, there's no pretension here. We are a family. So, we started the book of Titus last week, and it's kind of interesting. And we're in the book of Titus, which is dealing with gospel application of how we do church. And I think the American Western culture of church is absolutely broken. Absolutely. The sexy ministry, the seeker-sensitive, this attractional base that says, come look at our show, is just breaking apart. When Jesus died on the cross for people to come to him, not to church. And see, I had another pastor actually tell me one time, don't ever make the statement. Here's a statement I made. I said, don't invite people to church, invite people to Jesus. I really mean that. I don't care if you invite people to 1039 Church, because it ain't about 1039 Church. if you invite them to Jesus, if you love on them in Jesus' name, they will probably come with you here, which is awesome. But if they don't, I want them to find someone that's preaching the gospel and will love on them like family. So where am I going? Because I'm rambling like a lot because like Neo moment this week. I mean, I see the code, man. It's all over. I'm like holding back so much. So we're going to jump into Titus real quick. Remember book of Titus. Titus is setting up. He had to go to Crete because these crazy people. There's a lot of unrest, just like our American church. These people are lazy. These people are prosperous. These people are kind of sitting in their own prosperity going, we got this thing. We got this thing figured out because as Americans, we think we invented Christianity. Let's be honest. I love America. I don't want to live in another country, but we as Americans, we think we invented Christianity. Guess what? Christ was here long before America. Christ doesn't wave a flag of patriotism towards anybody. Christ waves a flag of patriotism towards the Father, and that's it. And then we are his bride. But we glean from his followers. We glean from his men like Paul. And what he tells the people he's writing these letters to, and he goes in to Crete and tells Titus, hey, go in there and set up order. Go in there and appoint leaders. And we talked about last week in his welcome how he talked about, and we have a common faith and a common bond. I don't want you to forget what I said last week, that this commonality, that if we don't come together on a common bond, see, I grew up in the church. I grew up Southern Baptist in the church, and everybody would come together, have the little things, but everybody wanted to debate the little doctrines. Like the Methodists, they really don't have it right. Well, those Pentecostals, the Charismatic, they're just crazy. Well, those Catholics, man, they're all screwed up. That's what the life of a Southern Baptist was all about. All right? And we all have these doctrinal, denominational little arguments that separate us. And what happens is when we're a house divided, Jesus said it and Abraham Lincoln quoted him. When we're a house divided, we cannot stand. Yes, should we teach sound doctrine? Absolutely. You want to find a church body in a place that preaches the word of God. And I'm going to get to it. I'm just setting up some things right now. Got a lot of mess in me right now. I'm excited. But it's the word of God and we cannot be so divided. We have to come together. So it's part of the problem with right now. You got so much in your news about the racial issue. I read this quote this week, and I thought it was awesome. We'll repeat it. This guy said that we don't have a skin problem in America. We have a sin problem in America. We want to focus on what we disagree about as opposed to find commonality and common ground and common bonds. And so the Bible is about that. It's that common bond, that common ground we can stand on. So we learn from Titus, and we look at how he tells us to come together. We have a common faith that God cannot, will not, and does not lie. He has no benefit to lie. So his promises are true. Even his curses are true. Nobody wants to hear about that. Everybody wants, love wins. Yes, love won. But God also says, if you follow me, I will bless you. But if you go over here and deny me, guess what? There's a curse on your life. Nobody wants to talk about the ugly side of those things. And that's not about sin, hell, and damnation, and just all this poo and mess on top of you. But there's the truth of God's promises are true, but also his curses are true. And so we need good leadership. And you can go as we pick up today, and you can read in chapter 1, pick it up around verse 12, and listen to the qualifications, the job description for elders like myself, what you have to fall into. But I want to focus on something deeper today. So let's pick up in Titus chapter 1, verse 15. I'm going to throw a ton of scripture at you today, so just be prepared. I said I wanted to try the lights today because I know we have stuff on the screen, but I know some of you have your actual paper written Bible. I have an iPad with all the apps and stuff like that. But so we turn the lights on today so you can see me. I can see you. Hey, how you doing? Wave at me. Hey, wave at each other. Good. All right. And so you can read. You can see because I really want to be foundational and on the Word of God. So if you don't have your Bible, that's fine. It'll be on the screen. But if you do have your Bible, lights. You can read today. So let's pick it up in Titus chapter 1, and I'll tell you where we're going. So we're going to go a lot of places. We're going to start at the funnel at the top. We're going to dive it down. And after your brain explodes, we'll come back next week and keep going. Chapter 1, verse 15. Paul just wrote, and he's kind of telling Titus about these Cretans, and he gave him some other things to let these people just stirring up trouble, some mess, because church would be awesome if it wasn't for the people, right? Come on now, you didn't say amen on that one. And including me, church would be awesome if it wasn't for us people sometimes. And that's what Paul's telling Titus. Hey, you got to go down to this island of Crete, and these people, they're a mess, man. You got people telling them all sorts of things. I need you to go in there and just drop the hammer on them, set some order, appoint some leaders, and do some things. And he's telling about these people. Then he picks up in verse 15. This is what he says. This is what I'm going to start to focus on today. He says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. In other words, church, Why are you so surprised that unbelieving people do unbelieving things? Well, why are you so surprised that Walmart or Target or you name it does something despicable in your eyes? I'm not saying I agree with it, but why are you surprised? Why are you surprised that politicians make dumb decisions? Now, if they say, I'm a believing Christ follower, you got a little check there, but to the unbelieving, nothing is pure. And he keeps going, he says, both their minds and their conscience are defiled. Now memory bank this, because we're going to focus on a lot of ands today. Minds and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. A friend of mine used to say this when I traveled as an evangelist. There's a lot of professors in the United States, but not a lot of possessors. You hear me when I'm saying that? A lot of people talk a good game. Here's the ball. Dribble off the foot. You ain't got no game. A lot of professors, not a lot of possessors. He says they are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good works. Now, unfit is kind of like, why shouldn't you drink and drive? Is it because the drinking's bad for you driving? No, drinking, being drunk while you drive makes you unfit to drive. It's probably not a good idea. Your senses aren't really all there together. Same thing with being impure, being a non-believer. You're unfit. You're incapable of really doing good works because everything about you is defiled. It's impure. So we have two types of people that Paul's looking at. He's talking about the pure and the impure. You want to filter that through like pure believers of Christ, born again, and then non-believers. Yes, you got those two categories, but that's not where I'm going to camp out today, because I'm going to camp out on the believers. See, here's what I believe about church. What we're doing as an organization today. I believe church is for the believers to be equipped to go back into the world. So how do we approach things here at 1039? When I approach these messages, when I ask God, I am approaching these messages so you as a believer, if you're sitting here as a believer of Jesus Christ, you'll be equipped to take something back into the world. If you're here today and you're not a believer or you're testing church out or whatever, we are sensitive to that. And here's the deal. You're going to get a lot of meat. You're going to still get Jesus, and the gospel does what it does. But we're going to focus on the believers being equipped so you can go back into the world, because what we have is we have a lot of shows. We have a lot of cookie cutter stuff. We have a lot of sexy in the church that's really doing a disservice to the body of believers, right? It's doing a disservice to you because it's saying, hey, here's some feel good. You got some symptoms going on. We talked about this last week. The church is taking on a symptomatic, therapeutic approach to doing church. You got a language problem? Well, just stop cussing. Just pray a little bit more. Here's some church therapy to make you feel good. See, we're going to get past the symptomatic, therapeutic approach to church. We're going to dive down to the Spirit of God, because if you deal with just the symptoms, you're still going to die. You have to get to the heart. And I know that makes people uncomfortable. It makes me uncomfortable. I have told you over and over again. So I'm going to say it again, because new people come every week. I am not preaching at you. I am preaching with you. I go home every week and I say, God, what do you want to do in me? What do I need to expose to my family? What do I need to be vulnerable about? What do I need to learn from you so I can help take it to the people at 1039 Church? This isn't that I just go on the internet and search some good things and look at some good quotes and go, that'll be good for them. No, this stuff is enlightening me. This stuff is growing me. This stuff is hitting my heart. So we have this pure and impure. We have the believers and non-believers, but we also have the believers that are more led by the Spirit, pure. And we have the believers that are more led by the flesh, impure, right? You know, when you're born again, you are born again spiritually, but you have the flesh. We're talking about the soul today. You have the emotions. You have your own will. You have your own mind, which is still broken and still tainted by the fall. You know that, right? Because when Jesus comes back, you get it all renewed. When Jesus comes back, you get a new mind. You get a new will. You get a new complete soul. You're completely consummated and made completely new. No more mess ups. But right now, there is this division, so I'm going to focus on the believers. Where do we have purity and impurity? Well, Jesus said it like this in Matthew 12. He kind of expounds on what Paul just said to Titus. Jesus said this in Matthew 12, beginning in verse 33. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. You get that, right? I mean, you're going to produce what you are eating on. Remember the old saying, you are what you eat. That's what Jesus just said. For the tree is known by its fruit. You're known by your fruit. Now, that's a scary thought, because I'm going to check my fruit right now. I'm an apple tree producing pears. Something's wrong with that. He says, you brood of vipers. Now he's talking to the Pharisees. He's dealing with the religious folks. See, it's funny, interesting about Jesus. Jesus dealt very gently and very graciously with people that were just ignorant of the truth of the gospel. But when he dealt with those religiously upright Pharisee people who knew the word of God, man, he called them names. I mean, he was rough on the religious upright. He was like, hey, I don't care how much Bible you can quote. How much Bible are you living? And he calls them, you brood of vipers, you snakes in the grass. That's what Jesus just said, you snakes in the grass. He said, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You ever notice that sometimes when people are sarcastic is when they're the most truthful? Right? Oh, I'm just playing. No, you weren't. You were truthful. It just came out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He said, the good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. Remember, you are what you eat. You're going to produce what you're taking in. And the evil person, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil. Here's what I know you're sitting there filtering things through. When we hear the words pure, impure, evil, good, here's what we do. We go ahead and we compare down. We go, impure, evil, that's not me. That's those pedophiles. That's those racist people that are killing people. That's those Islamic terrorists. That's those people. It's exactly what we do. Call me a liar on that one. I do it myself. I hear the word impure and I hear the word evil, and I compare it down and go, that can't be me. And we have to honestly come to the fact and understand that, yes, if we're believers in Jesus Christ, we are born again spiritually, pure, undefiled, but we have this mind, body, and soul thing that's still broke, still connected to the world because Jesus has not come back and consummated us, and we have to be realists, and we have to look at the parts in us, and we have to put to death, Paul says in Colossians, those evil things. Yes, we all have evil tendencies. We all have impure tendencies. Don't be scared of that. Because we're going to see the power to overcome that. And actually, quite frankly, you have already overcome that through Christ. But if you sit there and ignore it and go, well, I'm not those people. By the grace of God, you're not. And so we have to make sure we don't filter impurity and evil, that's not us. And we turn off the preacher. We turn off the word of God and go, well, give me something to make me feel. But remember, we want the symptoms again. We want the, well, how do I get rid of these symptoms? Give me some spiritual therapy, preacher. Guys, there is no therapy that I can give. There's not enough Bible studies. There's not enough sermons. There's not enough church stuff you can do to overcome the only problem we all have, and that's in our hearts, and Jesus did that. In the entire Bible, we got the reflection of God's grace and his mercy to redeem all people, and then we got two directives in the New Testament after Christ came on the cross. He said, go be make disciples. He said, be my witness. You know, that's what I'm doing up here today. Is all I'm trying to do is be a witness of the goodness of the gospel. That's it. I can't change you with my words. I can't convince you of anything. I would love to. Some people, I literally would love to kick the hell, literal hell out of them and put the heaven right in them. I really would. Some of you are like, well, did he just say that? Yes. I'm not being vulgar. That's what I want to do. I'm that passionate about people knowing Jesus, but I can't do it. So I can't do it. Only the Spirit of God can do that. But Jesus says, hey, you are what you eat. The good produces good. The bad produces bad. Ever wonder why some people just can't get along with others? Right? Ever wonder why some people constantly cannot find a church to belong to? I always got a complaint. I'm not getting fed. Hey, let me go ahead and just dispel this myth. You know 1039 Church is a messed up church, right? Just look beside you. Just look right here. You know you're never going to find a perfect, organized body of believers to fellowship with. You know that, right? And when you walk in the door and you go, all right, what they got for me up in here? Check the box of impurity. Check the box of evil intentions. Yes. When you walk up into a place and you start judging yourself, what do they have for me? You're not walking into a place being led by the Spirit of God. You're being led by your mind, body, and soul. You're going to try to find something that meets your needs. But this pure, when Paul talks about pure, it doesn't mean that those who are pure, they can do whatever they want and impurity becomes pure. If you're a believer in Christ, you're not going to go out there and jump into a life of pornography and pornography is all of a sudden pure because you're born again. No, it's still an impurity. It's still going to taint you. Alcohol by itself is not the impurity. But you go dive into alcohol, you start drinking more and more of it, there's a danger. And just because you're born again doesn't mean the evil worm won't bite you. Just because you're pure and born again doesn't give you the right and the license just to go step into it. And all of a sudden it becomes pure. Because I can go confess. God's great. We love to talk about grace. It's a new evangelical word. God, we're not under the law. We're under grace. Here's the deal. Grace doesn't say go out there and jump in whatever sin you want to jump into. Grace says you have the freedom to live. Grace says you're not condemned by the law anymore. But grace still says, hey, here's God's purity. God says, be holy as I am holy. And you can jump over here if you want. But there is a cost to it. And so, just because we're pure, we're born again, doesn't mean we get to jump into impure things and it becomes pure. It means that we seek out that which is pure. Our motives are pure. We want to go towards God. You guys, you understand that you're on that hamster wheel. And sometimes you're going to trip and you're going to fall, right? As believers, we are not going to live a perfectly fleshly, sinless life. Your spirit is sinless, but your flesh is going to trip up. Your flesh is going to think some things. It means if we're pure, it doesn't mean that we're not going to mess up. It means we're going to keep falling forward. We're going to keep seeking after Jesus no matter what. We're not going to have a bad day and go, woe is me. I'm going to sit over here. I stink. Oh, God. No, if we're pure in heart, we're pure in mind, we're going to mess up. We're going to get it on our knees and say, God, please forgive me. God, please cleanse me. God, I'm so, God, just, I repent of that attitude. I repent of that action. God, I'm going to keep walking this way. I'm not going back that way. That's what purity is about. It's about continuing towards the thing of God, which is good. And so we walk towards that. We see the silver lining. The impure will look and produce impurity, even out of the things that are pure. I.e., people use the Bible all the time to hurt people, right? Right? Well, you know where the Klan came from, right? You know where Hitler came from, right? The Word of God says we shouldn't mix races together. Really? Where'd you get that one from? Because it doesn't say that. Impure mindset. And I can throw Black Panthers in there. Hey, let's don't just be white people. Let's put it all in there. We all have impure thoughts. We all have evil desires in our heart that want to separate and go against the Word of God. We all, black, white, Hispanic, Chinese, no matter what, can all look at the Word of God and pull out evil intentions. That hurts, doesn't it? Scares the mess out of me. That's why it's so important that we understand the Spirit of God. It's kind of how it is. Think about this. When the sun shines, you're at the dog park. Just follow with me for a second. Yeah, the dog park. Inevitably, people are supposed to pick up after themselves, but inevitably, what you can find in the dog park? Some dog poo at the dog park, right? Sun shining, great, glorious day. Sun shining in the dog poo. Now, when the sun shines in that dog poo, does it produce potpourri? No. Produces stank. Let's just be honest. Now, that same sun is shining on the flowers in the field next door. It's shining on the crops of the farmer two doors down. That same sun shining on flowers, shining on crops, is producing good, producing beauty, right? Is it the sun's fault that the poo stinks? No. I know, right? What do you call with these analogies? Just flows out of me. It's a natural thing. It's a gift I have. No, so when God's word gets perverted, when God's word gets messed up, don't blame God, right? We go into a church, we listen to it, I was getting ready to say tape, it shows up from the 80s, right? CD, whatever, music, digitally. When we go listen to, we hear stuff, we hear God's word perverted, what do? We don't blame the person. We blame God. God, how could you? How could you allow my mama to die? God, how could you allow America to be in this position? God, how could you allow these people to do these things? God, how could you? We don't blame the sun for the poo. We shouldn't blame God for the mess. His truth is absolute. His promises are never ending. He will not, cannot, has no benefit to him to lie. So that's all the surface stuff. Your head feeling good right now? Because we're getting ready to take it down to another level. We're going to shift that thing in. There's the surface stuff. Let's go down into the Spirit of God. Turn to 1 Peter 1. I read these verses last week, but I want to focus on the first two because this is where we're going to start to make impact. This is where we're going to start to make inroads in being healed. This is where we're going to start to make inroads in being the believers and the people that God's called us to be, and it's all about the Spirit. And here's what's going to happen. Some of you are going to leave here today, and you're going to be like, I don't know if I got that. It's okay. It's okay. Because the more you keep pressing in, the more you keep asking God to show you, the more you get by yourself, the more you chase after his heart, the more you chase after his spirit, the more your spirit's going to grow. And the more you're going to have that Neo moment, you're going to see the code. So just be patient with it. We're going to dive into it. 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. Here's what Peter says. He says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. By the way, the truth is the gospel. There's no other name among men under heaven that you shall be saved by. It's Acts 4:12. You've been obedient. You purified your souls by what? The truth of the gospel. Jesus is the only one that saves. For sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly. In other words, the gospel produces love in your heart. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, and here's what I want you to really, if you have a Bible, I want you to circle born again, all right? Then I want you to cross out not and underline perishable. You've been born again, not of perishable seed, but circle, but start, double circle it, underline of imperishable. You've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. There's twofold. It's not only the word of God spoken and written down in the Bible that we read. It's also, remember John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. God, Jesus, the logos, the word, the spoken representation of God himself. Then Jesus manifests in John 1:14. He became Emmanuel, God with us. Colossians tells us that he is the visible image of the invisible God. So the word of God is what's written right here that we're listening to. It remains, it abides, it never falls away. You can rely on the Bible. Right? You can rely on the Bible. Now, if you have impure intentions, you're going to take God's word and twist it up. But also the living, Jesus is the actual living, abiding word of God, the Logos. So we have this imperishable. See, people don't understand that when we become born again, do you understand you will not die? I'm not talking about Tom and Jerry, harps and angels' wings floating on clouds not die. I'm talking about you are imperishable. Your inheritance, what you have coming to you, will never fade. See, we just think of it in the realm of pain and safety and security. Well, if I get Jesus, I got safety, comfort, and security, and I'm going to go to this place called heaven. It's way deeper than a destination. You understand that, right? For too long, we've made the gospel about a destination as opposed to a relationship with the living, true God of the universe. So when you're born again imperishable. You have an imperishable home. It's not just about safety and security. It's about something that will never, ever fade away. It is the opposite of everything you feel that's icky. It is totally, totally glorious, and it will never, ever go away. Here's what Paul said in Hebrews. By the way, some people say Paul didn't write Hebrews, but I'm of the camp that he wrote it. Here's how it takes it to another level. He says, for the word of God is living and active. Right? Remember, your Bible, Jesus, not some folklore, not some fairy tale, not something just for Sunday mornings. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division. Now listen, this is where it gets real heavy. Piercing the division of soul and of spirit. You're like, what? Hold on. Of joints and of marrow. And discerning the inner thought, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So let's put some vocabulary words on the page right now. Let's kind of dive down on what we're talking about here so we can try to make sense of this. Well, Paul mentioned earlier about the conscience, the mind and the conscience. Well, this conscience is part of our soul. We are given a soul. When God created man, that's one of the things that distinguishes us different from the dogs, the cats, the birds. We have a soul. Right? In the garden, God created Adam and Eve. He gave them a soul. He gave them his image and his identity. That was makes us human, but also reflects him. But according to the fall, our soul was broken. So everything about us, our soul, our mind, our body, everything about us was broken and separated. See, in the garden, there was actually two trees. There was a tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, which Adam and Eve ate, and it broke everything. But there was another tree. If you remember before he kicked them out, he said, we got to kick them out unless they eat of the tree of life and become like us. See, God's intentions were for all men and women to be saved from the very beginning because he put a tree of life in the garden. But we ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and he had to kick us out. And then who? Now this will blow your new door. Who is now the tree of life? Come on now. Say it. Yes. That's the opera. Jesus is the tree of life. Right? all the way back to the beginning. God put a tree of life in the garden. We said, no, we don't like that tree. We like this tree because we want to doubt God. That's the problem. Remember what I said last night? It's not the actual manifestation of the sin. It's not you actually going out and doing the physical sin. It's what started in your heart that created the sin. That's where the sin starts. And then 2,000 years ago, several thousand years forward after the fall of man, we've got the true tree of life. The man, Jesus, who hung and was cursed for us on a tree. Our conscience, our soul was broken. Only the Holy Spirit is pure and can regenerate us. So we have a soul. It is broken. Our conscience is tainted. Little Jiminy Cricket, he's an evil little cuss. Don't listen to him. He's broken. So only the Holy Spirit that is pure can regenerate. Then we have the soul is natural. It's part of our emotions, our will. Even Jesus, the Bible says, has a soul. All right, it's what makes us different from the natural, the beast of the field is a soul, makes us that one with God, that identifier with God. And then we have a spirit. Spirit is of God. It's not the natural. It's the unseen. And so when Hebrews says it divides both soul and spirit, here's what the word of God comes into, and it presses upon your heart. The word of God is not about therapy, just helping you get over certain symptoms. The word of God is getting to the innermost parts of your heart and your soul and who you are, soul and spirit. It is separating what is of God. The Holy Spirit regenerates, justifies. That's why the Bible says that you're being saved. You were saved, being saved, and will be saved. Justification, sanctification, glorification. Sanctification is what the Word of God is doing in your life right now. It's splitting your soul and your spirit. The soul tainted part that's still connected with the natural. That part, that mind, body, and soul. We hear that all the time, right? The New Age movement is big right now. Modern psychology, mind, body, and soul. Let's get some incense and let's meditate. On what? Happy Gilmore? Now, here's the thing I want to say about the New Age movement and some of the modern psychology. Here's the sad part. Some of the people that are in the New Age movement and all that stuff, they are more connected with things that are spiritual than us that are in the church. You know why? Because we get stuck in the processes. We get stuck in the, we're just going to watch church today. We don't participate in the worship of God. And we got all these people out there that are very sensitive to spiritual things. And they're chasing after things, but they're lost as a goose. And yet us that are born again believers, we're sitting over here in our comfy seats. We're sitting over here in our things, and we're just going, yeah, I don't really feel God today. I'm really getting it today. I just didn't really feel fed today. Is it God's fault that you didn't get fed today? Is it God's fault that when you come to 1039 or whatever church that you don't feel him? The problem is we want the spectacular. We want our minds fed. We're in a very educated area, the RTP, Duke, Carolina State. We've got three of the major universities in the United States of America. We're a very intellectual, educated area. We want our minds fed. And that's usually what we don't even realize we come to church to do. We want our minds fed. Well, is the mind the part that saves you? Is the mind the part that's pure? No, it's of the natural. Remember, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes in and regenerates you. The Holy Spirit is the only thing that's pure inside of you. Now God tabernacles inside of you. And we go after, we want our mind. Give me that Bible study. Give me that Greek. Give me that Hebrew. Help me understand the context, which is good. But understanding the context without the purity of the Spirit, just feeding your mind and never feeding the Spirit within you is going to cause you to still die. So we have got to get away from this mind, body, and soul feeding. We've got to stop the symptomatic, therapeutic approach to the church. And we have to understand we need to feed the Spirit. The psalmist says in Psalm 42:11, if you want to understand that soul, we have this soul, but also the Word of God separates that soul from the Spirit. In 42:11, the psalmist says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil with me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. In John chapter 4, we'll start to wrap this thing up, taking even further. In John chapter 4, Jesus was telling the woman at the well this. He says, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers, circle true worshipers, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must, underline must, worship in spirit and truth. What's going on here? You must worship God. Is worship God just the five songs we sing? Let's be real. Isn't that what we've compartmentalized worship in today's Christendom? Well, we're going to worship God now. Stand up and sing. What? Can we not worship when we preach? Can we not worship when we do kids? Can we not worship when we serve? Can we not worship when we go to work? Can we not worship when we get in the garden and till and whatever else? Worship is adorning God, is exalting him. And you can worship God anywhere, anytime. We have segmentations of worship, and music is part of that. We must worship him in spirit and truth. The truth part is your mind. I'm giving you truth right now, all right? As best as my soul, mind, body, and soul, that part, and then coupled with the Holy Spirit of God in me and how big and how mature it is, I'm giving you truth from the Word of God. We'll worship in truth right now. It's the truth of God. But that's where we stop. We worship in the truth only. Right here. That was good. Good. Got it. I'll go home and chew on that. But what about the Spirit? It's the reason why we say we come to church and we just don't feel it. It's the reason why many of us come to churches and services and we struggle with worshiping. We struggle with just standing there. We struggle with, I just don't know what's going on. It's because we're feeding our mind. We're feeding our soul. That low part that's left that's related to the beast. So we're feeding the perishable. You follow me on this? We come and we feed the perishable. We go home and we feed the perishable because somewhere along the way, some preacher, some seminary told you, just go out and be a good person. Because that's what they really said. Just go out and feed the poor. Just go out and give more and do these things. And nobody really taught you and showed you that you can't just go out and do the good works if you're not good in here. If you're not feeding the imperishable. The truth is great. The truth is great, but the truth never makes it to the spirit. Then what's it for? You know, there are a lot of good atheists out there. There are good Muslims, good people, not the Islamic terrorist people. There are good people in all shapes, forms of life that don't even know Jesus. There are good people all over this planet, good people. Why is that? Well, one, God creates in his image and his likeness, so common grace, we still reflect God in some ways. So there is still God's common grace on the world that there can be good out of even the evil. But there will be a full separation when he comes back that his children will go to the place of no more evil. And those that said no to him will go to the place that's nothing but pure evil. So there are good people all over the place. But imperishable, the spirit and the soul. And we must learn how to feed the spirit. We must learn how to worship in spirit. Here's what A.W. Tozer, I read them all, Charles Spurgeon. He says this about how we see things. He says, if you send a buzzard flying over a tract of country, what will it see? He says, why, it will be looking out for all the dead carcasses, and it will be sure to be able to tell you how much dead flesh there is about. He says, but if you send a dove over the same space, it won't have an eye for it has no taste for it, but it will tell you everything that is fair and beautiful like itself. If you don't feed the spirit, you're not going to see the spirit. Does that make sense? If I'm a buzzard, all I'm looking for is what's dead. If I'm a buzzard, I walk in. Well, I didn't like the way they sung that pastor. He's a little too crazy. He's a little too loud for me. Let's go somewhere else. If I'm a buzzard, I'm going to find fault about everybody and everything. Well, they were a little grumpy today, so they offended me. I'm out of here. Really? Why don't you check yourself one time? If I'm a buzzard. By the way, let's go ahead and put this in there. We all are buzzards, including me at times. Ask my wife. I walk into the house. And hey, hi, honey, I love you. Hey, who left their socks right here? I'm looking for all the dead carcasses. Sierra City, Carter Caden, come clean your drawers up down here. Well, hey, Daddy, good to see you too. We're recognizing that the buzzard is the soul, the mind, the body. It looks for what is dead, because it is dead. It seeks out the perishable because it is perishing. But the spirit is imperishable. The spirit is that dove that flies around. The spirit has no taste for what is dead. The spirit walks up in the places, and the spirit doesn't evaluate the attitudes of the people. The spirit doesn't evaluate the song and how the notes are in the singers. The spirit doesn't evaluate how good the presentation of the pastor was. The spirit doesn't evaluate the spirit. The spirit says, is there spirit here? See, we see wrong. That's why we have a trouble with church. The spirit is looking for the spirit. Here's a hard word. I thought about this, but it really convicted me. You know why maybe sometimes we really struggle with church, feeling the spirit, really experiencing God? Maybe you walked into the day and you didn't bring much of God with you. Yeah, that one hurt, doesn't it? That hit me right here this week. See, as a pastor, sometimes I want to come in here, I want to evaluate. Why didn't people respond? It must be them. Don't we want to do that? It must be them. No, it's, where does God live now? If you're a believer in God, if you're a professing child of Christ, if you said yes, you've been born again, he tabernacles, he dwells, he lives within you. So when you walk through that door, you bring him with you. So if you don't experience him, you didn't bring him through the door. So guys, how do we fix that? We go back home. We get alone. We get in our word. We beg God for his spirit. We begin to recognize things that are mind, body, and soul, and resist those things that do not feed those things. I'm going to end up with this. And this is where we're going to bookmark and come back to the stuff, because I know it gets real deep. But this is the how. Remember, this book of Titus is about gospel application of church. This is how we apply the gospel. It's like I said, it's not the symptoms. It's not the therapy. It's not just come listen to the message. Just go out. It's go feed your spirit, not your mind, body, and soul. And this is what Paul said in Galatians chapter 5. Pick it up in verse 16. I'm not gonna what we call exegete or really expound on this much. I'm gonna read it and give you a couple points, and then we're gonna worship God. Paul says this, but I say walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. See, feed the Spirit, and the flesh will not thrive. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for they are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. You know why there's turmoil and unrest in your life at times? Because the flesh and the Spirit wage war against each other. Notice that. Don't get beat up by the unrest. Don't get beat up by the stress. It's the flesh waging war against your spirit. That's why in Romans chapter 7, Paul went, why do I do the things I know I shouldn't do? He was stressed out. He's like, I can't believe as a believer I'm doing this. Then he makes this great discovery. It's not me. It's not my spirit. It's not the regenerated man that's doing it. It's the flesh. It's the sin that is doing it. He says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Because the flesh condemns. Remember, it seeks after which is death, the buzzard. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality. And by the way, please do not compartmentalize homosexuality over heterosexual sin. Sexual immorality covers it all. The misuse of sex. Impurity. That's not only the misuse, that's the intentional lying to trick or harm somebody. Sensuality, or being seductive. Having an ulterior motive, basically. Idolatry. Putting the natural above God. Sorcery, that's witchcraft. Let me throw another one out there. Don't get mad at me, I'm just reading God's word. Zodiac. Stop reading your zodiac sign. It ain't telling you nothing. Go to the word of God. Enmity, which is hatred. All right? Hatred, that's in our heart. Strife. Strife, which is you create factions. You're clicky. Like you go to divide people on purpose. That's factions. Jealousy. Fits of anger. Rivalries, which means you always got to come against somebody. Dissensions. Well, that's a quarreling or a strong disagreement. Somebody's always got to be right. Somebody's always got to argue. Sometimes I want to argue. He said, hey, this is not of the spirit, that you're always argumentative. You're quarreling. Divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. It's a tough word, I know. But you know why God is so truthful in his word? Even right now, some of you are uncomfortable. But you know the goodness about this? Isn't it a good God that points out the wrong so you can see the truth? Aren't you thankful somebody told you that the stove was hot? Aren't you thankful somebody when you're about 5 years old said, hey, that car weighs 2,000 pounds, you weigh 150, you may not want to run out in the road. It hurts, doesn't it? It hurts to be told you're wrong at times. It hurts to point out that mind, body, and soul is perishing and you can't trust your own heart. You can't believe your own gut. But you have to trust God's. But it's tough. But it's only tough because we're not feeding the right thing. If you go work out, those first few workouts, what? But what happens a month or 2 months or 3 months later? I got this thing. I couldn't run 50 feet 4 months ago. Now I can run a mile. So it takes training. And these are the things of his flesh. And he says, I warn you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's a lot of debate on that one. Just know that best case scenario, if you're partaking in those things, you're being led by the enemy and not of the Spirit of God. We all at times partake in some of those things. And we are unfit to be representations of Jesus. So we need to know these things and really run from these things and not feed those things. And we need to feed the Spirit of God, which is this. Now, he doesn't just give us the ugly. He gives us the good. That's the great thing about God. He tells you the truth about the ugly, but then he gives you the good news. Here's the good news. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now listen to this. This is a bold, bold statement. Against such things, there is no law. You got that stuff going on, nothing can stop you. Nothing can hinder you. He said, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. In other words, feed it. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Like I said, I'm not going to break this down a lot. I just want to point out two things. Did you notice that works, the word works of the flesh is plural? You know why it's plural? Because the works of the flesh, they work independently against each other to tear you apart. I want you for no other thing. I want you to see those works of the flesh. And I want you to understand those things, although they may have a thrill for a minute or two, they are working to tear you apart. And you notice that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is singular. It's the fruit, not the fruits. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, 9 different seeds, I like to call it. Why are they singular? Because they're working together in harmony to make you whole. It's a tough word to look at the flesh. I get it. It hurts my feelings every day. But the flesh, the natural, the soul, the mind, body, and soul is trying to rip you apart because it's still tainted with the fall. And the enemy, he reigns in your senses, your 5 senses, which you can feel, see, touch, taste, and hear. That's where your enemy reigns. He manipulates those things. But the born again, the Spirit of God, he reigns in what is unseen. He reigns in these 9 things. He reigns in the fruit of the Spirit. He reigns what is supernatural. He reigns where you cannot see. And we have to rely on the Spirit of God. We have to get rid of relying on our senses. We have to get rid of the worry and the depression and the anxiety and the unrest. All that stuff is rooted in the mind, body, and soul. I get it. It's real. I feel it at times. But that stuff is rooted in what is perishing, not as what is imperishable. In the flesh. You notice that the flesh was called work. The flesh is working. It's conniving. It's conceiving. But the Spirit was called fruit. It produces stuff. And believers, we have to set out each day to be able to identify what proceeds from the Spirit and what originates from the soul and the natural and the flesh, and do not fulfill the flesh. We got to starve it. We have got to feed the Spirit. So I'm gonna bookmark that. And we're going to come back to stuff like that. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to worship God. Next 2 songs. In spirit and in truth. How's that look? Well, I want to make a statement that's going to freak some of you out. So just listen to me. You're like, oh no, what is he going to say? Here's what I pray you guys do. I pray when you leave here today, you guys go home. And you guys, you're going to be like, this is crazy. I pray you guys go home and speak in tongues. We're that kind of church. We've always been that kind of church. Where you been? Now, we're not that kind of church that's going to let you run around like a crazy person and be disrespectful and distracting and all that stuff, because the Bible has limitations on that. But even Paul says the gift of tongues is a edifying personal spirit, glorifying a gift, more of a private gift. And if you do it right now, you better have an interpretation. That's why we're not going to act like crazy people in here. I'm saying that out loud because it's been in me. And you're like, well, we're not going back to 1039 church anymore. So there's crazy charismatic people that believe in those speaking in tongues. Yes, I believe God still works. I don't understand all the gifts. But that's why I'm saying I pray you go away from here. I'm still growing in things like that. And I pray you go home. Paul himself said, I pray you speak in tongues. I speak in tongues more than you. He says, do not forbid it. But we will understand how to operate. And when we come here together in an organized function, we'll be very reverent. But when you go home, I'm praying when you get by yourself, you will edify your spirit and begin to feed that. And that's one of the few places I know that you can begin to. It's crazy at times. I'm still learning more and more. 40 years old and being a believer and a pastor for 20 years, I'm still learning what this looks like to really feed the spirit. So I make that statement. If that freaks you out, we can have a conversation. Don't worry, we ain't going to have Tambourine lady running around here jumping and doing backflips, okay? But I pray you have a party in your closet when you get home. I pray you get in the spirit. And the spirit isn't just about exalting that gift of tongues. Let's just say we exalt the spectacular way too much at times. And that's why you see some places that do that. I'm like, what's going on here? Because they don't use it in a reverent way. I mean, it's a more personal edifying. And then here's how we're going to, the other part of that. Well, I just gave you the truth. Just gave you the truth. That's how we worship in the truth. Here's what I want to do. Michael and the team, I want you guys to come on up. We're going to worship. I want to pray. I want to pray over Michael. Michael DeVries, you come with me to pray. The Bible talks about the elders laying hands and just praying. I pray with Michael and the team this morning, but I want to specifically pray. You stand up there, you can come down here. One, what we do from a platform standpoint is very difficult at times because the flesh still engages me, the flesh still engages Sesmat here, and, you know, it's difficult to look out sometimes and evaluate things and say it's them, they're the ones having the problem, when we really all have to just glorify God the best we can glorify God and worship him in spirit and not our flesh. So I'm going to pray for Michael, me and Michael DeVries. We're going to lay hands and pray over Michael Sesmat because he's our lead worship guy. He's been tasked with this time to lead you guys in song. And it's a heavy burden at times. And then while they're leading us in these two songs, I'm going to say the same thing I said at the beginning of the service and the welcome. I'm going to ask you not to just spectate. I'm going to ask you to just really seek after God's presence. Whether you need to sit there and pray, whether you want to stand up and raise your hands and absorb the music, whether you want to sing as loud, whether you want to fall on your face over to the side, however you need to experience God, I'm going to be over to the side if you want somebody to pray for, because here's what I do believe. Some of you got some stuff that you're wrestling with, and you're keeping it to yourself, and you keep keeping it to yourself, and the body of believers is here to help heal each other. And so I'm not going to force you, but I'm going to say I'm available if you'd like for me to pray with you. Just love on you. There's no judgment here. We're all jacked up. We're going to worship God in spirit. We've already had the truth. And I pray that 1039, we finally get through this breakthrough of feeding the mind, the body, and soul. We begin to really walk after the things of the spirit. Is it scary? Absolutely. God does things that freaks me out like this week all the time. But as much as he freaks me out, I'm like, yes. Like Neo. The code. Oh my goodness. I've been playing JV this long. Worship in spirit and truth. Let's pray for Michael. One, I want to say out loud, I love this dude. I want everybody to hear how much of a blessing you are to me. You are to this family. This dude's 25 years old, and the anointing on his life, he left a paying gig of a bigger church to move here 2 years ago with his brand new wife. Now, I'm not exalting him over anybody else. You're all precious to me, but right now I just want to pray for him because he has a difficult task, and I want you guys to understand just the anointing on this young man's life and how much he means to me. Michael DeVries, Drew, they all mean a lot to me. And if you're feeling insecure about this right now, the soul, not spirit, but I want to edify your spirit, man. You're an awesome man. You can't be my son because I'd have been 15 if I had you. That'd have been awkward. But it's like my little brother. And I can tell you right now, Everybody exalts sometimes the preaching. You got to have good preaching. This right here, what he does is very important. And we take for granted what he does. And I've watched him grow in 2 years. And I'm telling you right now, I'm saying out loud, God is moving in this man's life something mightily. I know it. We've talked about it. I've seen it. And one day the guitar is going to blow up and the Spirit of God is going to flow out of that thing like amazing. And so, man, I love you. Dude, I am not giving you tongue in cheek, man. This is not something for these people. I love you, bro. Like, I am so thankful you found 1039. And you sat at Chick-fil-A and heard how crazy I was and didn't run. So, man, I love you, bro. I love you dearly. You're amazing. So I want to pray over Michael, and let's worship. Michael's prayer. Father, Holy Spirit, I just pray you fall. Consume this place. Right now, Holy Spirit, consume Michael Sesmat and the task you've given him to lead us in song. God, anoint his mouth. Anoint his singing. Anoint the guitar. Anoint Cam. Anoint Susan, Father. God, just Holy Spirit, consume us right now as we sing and praise you and bring glory to you, Father. God, I pray the mind will check out. I pray the body and the soul, the natural, will check out and your spirit will increase right now, Father. Holy Spirit, consume us and we can worship you, Father. Worship you without the distractions. Worship you without the unrest. Father, right now, just thank you for Michael Sesmat. Thank you for Leslie. Thank you for what you've done in their life. Thank you for drawing them and bringing them to 1039 to be a part of this team and to lead us with his gifts, talents, and abilities and to bless us every week with those gifts, talents, and abilities. Father, I pray your protection on Michael and Leslie. I pray that we just, in Jesus' name, we bind the enemy right now and we let him know out loud that he has no authority and no impact, and we're going to come against him and we're going to protect Michael and Leslie. We're going to protect each other in the name of Jesus. Father, increase his confidence. Increase his peace, his courage, Lord. Increase the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, in him. Father, we love you. We thank you so very much. I pray we never, ever, none of us ever get over the gospel and we keep seeing like the dove. We don't look for the dead flesh, the perishable, that we feed, and we look for the imperishable, the Spirit of God, and we feed that every day, Father. God, we love you. And we pray all these things in the glorious and blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Love you, man.